Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor. And I'm joined here today with Phil Davidson from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Good morning, Phil. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.
I like how you didn't say sitting to my right. You just said I'm joining you in the studio.
Ken's a sitting to my right kind of guy.
He likes to tell everyone where everyone is positioned.
You know, I think that listeners don't mind not knowing what the layout of the table is, so I'm just saving, I save the words.
I appreciate that.
I have a lot of words to say today, so I'm going to prioritize the important ones.
Please do.
Yeah, I'm just glad we got down here this morning without the Lollapalooza traffic.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know any of the bands. I know like three bands.
If you were to just draw a bunch of, or I should say write, a bunch of just random words on a sheet of paper, I would believe that was a Lollapalooza lineup. Yeah. It's hard to keep track anymore.
This time of year with this and, you know, many other things, it's just a time where I start to feel old. I'm not that old, but like you put out the lineup for Lollapalooza, I have one of those moments where I was like, man.
Yes. And even just being downtown this week for work, when you look at the crowd going in, you're like, are you out of eighth grade yet? I mean, seriously, if you're a senior in college, you're pretty old at Lollapalooza, I feel like, these days. It's definitely a younger clientele, and
I still like
where the money's coming from, because they're paying a lot of money to go to that thing. But
it got really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to think that if I went out there, I would still be able to, like, show the kids how it's done.
Right.
Probably not true at all.
No.
I'd be, like, sitting under a tree with heat exhaustion or something. So.
Yes. And I don't know. I mean, that's probably part of the appeal to young people. They don't really drink the way that our generation did. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing there for how they're enjoying themselves.
Well, we should next year, we're going to set up a mobile team and we'll go check it out.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Talking about workers' rights.
Some tough news this week. I know for me, certainly, I was a big fan. I know you are as well. But Ryan Sandberg, legendary second baseman from the Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
Yeah. He passed away after a terrible battle with cancer. Cubs fans are mourning him. Rhino was the reason that a lot of people stayed Cubs fans in the 80s, I think.
The Sandberg game.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Sandberg was the man. I have one Cubs jersey, and it's Ryan Sandberg. But a couple weeks ago, he put out a statement about still watching every game, but not being able to get out to the stadium, and it sort of seemed like it was an early farewell. So I was sad to see it, but
we
love you, Rhino. We'll never forget you.
I'll go ahead and say it. The greatest second baseman of all time.
Yeah.
I'm on record for that.
Okay,
I know Joe Morgan would probably claim that title, but
yeah, let him.
Yeah, Rhino was the best. I mean, the way he could turn a double play, and obviously the power, he was a total package.
Yeah, just a good old guy.
And one of the greatest little-known stats, actually more of a factoid, Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
John Stockton.
Okay.
Mark Rippon, Super Bowl-winning quarterback. All born within like a 1 mile radius in Tacoma, Washington.
We got to check that place out.
Look that up, listeners.
It's right near like a laboratory or something.
Something's
maybe
going on over there. But yeah, pretty incredible.
Yeah,
you know, two are Hall of Famers, I believe. Yeah,
yeah, that sounds right.
Can you believe that?
Well, we have we've got a big show coming up today. We have a couple of really interesting guests coming in. First, we are going to have Nick Cortese from Union Legal Services. He's going to be coming in to talk about property tax appeals. It's that time of year, and
yes,
members of the National Coalition of Labor, through their unions, get access to his services for free on property tax appeals. But he'll
like
go through
really free.
Yeah, like if you get your property tax appealed, first off, if you go to get your tax amounts appealed, you usually have to pay someone to look at it,
yes,
and see if you can even do it, see if it makes sense, and then whatever they save you, they take
a
third or a half of that. But with this, it's you provide him a property number, he looks into it for free, and if you save money, you keep it all, and he takes care of everything. So
you're talking thousands of dollars in savings.
Yeah, I mean, he'll give the updated number, but it's usually like $1,900 a year,
wow,
that members are saving with this, which in a lot of cases offsets your union dues.
Yeah.
It's a big
reason
number,
enough to join the coalition.
Yeah, so we'll have him coming in the next segment, and then after that, we'll have A couple of folks from the Operating Engineers Local 150 and QSL America. We've talked about the strike they have going on down in the port on the south side. And so they'll be in to tell us a little bit more about what's happening down there. But a lot to get to in the show. So we will take a break and we'll be right back to you with Nick Cortese from Union Legal Services right after this.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with Phil Davidson, and we are joined in the studio by Nick Cortese, and you are the head of Union Legal Services.
Yes, Ed, thanks for having me back. I am the owner and founder of Union Legal Services.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better than the head of legal services. Sorry about that. But
founding partner.
Founding partner.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you are one of the providers, one of the sort of foremost providers of benefits to unions that are part of the National Coalition of Labor. You started with the Carpenters Union, but your organization provides legal benefits to union members. So free stuff, discounted stuff.
And
I mean, tell us a little bit more about all the types of things you provide and who you provide it to.
Sure. We provide a whole range of legal services to the National Coalition of Labor, and more specifically, the union members and their family members.
Right.
We provide basically three different types of legal services. We provide, first and foremost, free legal guidance to all the union members and their family, the goal of which is to answer any legal question they have or solve whatever legal problem they have so they don't have to spend money on an attorney.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you'll take that initial phone call, that initial email, say, hey, I got something going on here, and you'll guide them and say, this is what you should probably pursue here.
Yeah, is it illegal for me to storm Area 51? Like, don't do that.
Things like that, yes, they come up all the time. Yes, we provide them with, again, the goal is to answer that question, solve the problem so they don't have to spend money on an attorney. There's tons of examples of which we'd help people where if we weren't available for that help, they'd have to go into an attorney's office, at least give $500 for consultation,
for sure,
and probably a $12,000 to $3,000 retainer just to get resolve the problem or get the advice that we're giving them to solve that problem.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you have a question that you wish you knew a lawyer or you had a lawyer that you trusted that was smart on something, but the money is an impediment so many of the times?
Yeah, meter's always running.
For sure. And I get the phone calls from members after when they have a question, I direct them to you. And sometimes after they talk to you, they call back and say, like, wow, that was easy.
Yeah.
Like, I got my question answered.
Sure. And the other thing is, too, is that whatever the issue is or the problem is, it gets resolved relatively quickly.
Right.
It's not drawn out again by going to an office, coming back for an appointment.
We're trying to bill the hours.
Bill the hours. And, you know, 6 months later, you may be in the same position you were when you first called them.
Right.
In addition to myself, to give out the guidance and provide the services, I have two retired Cook County Circuit Court judges, James McCarthy and Greg Wojciechowski.
Mm-hmm.
They provide the guidance to the members and their family members also. So the member talking to the judges. So members know that when they're contacting us, they're getting accurate information to solve those legal problems and answer those legal questions.
Some of our members might have been sentenced by those judges.
Yeah, it's like,
yes.
You look so familiar.
I remember that voice.
Yeah. You look different when you're not wearing orange.
Right.
But yeah, on top of the legal guidance, you have free and discounted.
Sure.
You
know, the two other services that we provide the members, the second is free legal services.
Mm-hmm.
We do free property tax appeals for the members,
right,
which I'll get back to in a second. We also do free expungements for the members, and we also do free credit counseling, credit repair for the members.
Yeah, we had Russ in the studio a couple of weeks ago talking about that. We got a ton of feedback on that segment. Super, super interesting and a great benefit.
Russ is an excellent asset for Union Legal Services. I think on average, a credit score has increased anywhere from 50 to 100 points, and members have been very happy with their service. In particular, usually members use a credit repair service company where they have to pay anywhere to $200 to $300 a month, and it's outgoing. With Union Legal Services and our credit repair program, it's absolutely free, and members do not have to pay a fee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a confusing enough system that somebody tells you, like, you pay us every month and we'll, over the course of a year, we'll make it better. But,
right.
You know, Russ gave us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain where it's like I can write some letters. I can come up, I can listen to your situation and tell you if there's an easy way to do
sure.
this.
Right.
That doesn't require you to spend a ton of money, wait a long time, destroy your credit score, right. You know, settle debts for less than the original, any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
So he was, I mean, he was a wealth of information.
There's a lot of scammers in that space
no
too,
question.
Right, in the credit repair world.
Absolutely. And with Russ, in working with our credit union, one of the other benefits to the National Coalition of Labor's members is that there's been situations where someone's been trying to get a home equity loan or a mortgage.
Right.
And there's, let's so we say, a problem with their credit report.
Yeah.
And needs to be resolved quickly. Russ has been able to do that for the member, so they've been able to close on their mortgage or obtain their home equity loan.
Yeah.
So
he knows the rules of the game, and that is a confusing, the
it's
credit
confusing game,
is very
right.
confusing.
It's a confusing game, and
the stakes are just really high.
And with anything nowadays, unless you have an expert that knows how to dot the I's and cross the T's, you're going to be stuck because the other side knows how to play the game.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, you also do referrals for criminal right. stuff. I mean, if somebody needs
yeah.
defense.
So the third thing we offer to our members is discounted legal services in virtually every area of the law.
Yeah.
And every area of law consists of criminal defense, immigration, estate planning, family law,
divorce.
That doesn't happen in the trades.
No.
That's in fact, family law is one of the number one things we receive calls about.
I was going to ask, is that the most popular of your benefits you offer?
It's probably the most popular, yeah. second only to property tax.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also do personal injury and workers' compensation.
Yep.
They're discounted legal services. We have an attorney in each area of the law. They're all independent contractors that have agreed to do the work for union members at yep. a discount. So, for example, God forbid someone calls and says, Nicholas, I have a DUI. What advice can you give me? Well, there's really no advice except you're going to need a good attorney. I refer them to our criminal defense attorney, mm-hmm. and they're all set to move forward. Same thing with divorce. Estate planning, workers' compensation,
yeah.
Real estate. So that's the benefit to the member. They're not just going through a phone book,
right.
picking out a name of, you know, someone with 4 stars. They're reputable.
Yeah.
They've been vetted, and
if we were getting bad feedback on any of these attorneys,
if they'd be getting
out.
Bad feedback, yeah. they'd be out, because I guarantee you, I know there are other attorneys waiting to step into their shoes
sure.
because
yeah.
the program's been so successful.
We're not sending him to Bob Loblaw from Arrested Development. Remember him?
Yeah, Bob. Right.
Yeah, right. I forgot yeah. about that.
Or who's the attorney on The Simpsons?
Lionel Hutz.
Right. Lionel Hutz did not make the cut this year.
Yeah. So. Well, no, I mean, the amount of feedback that we've gotten is huge. And I know specifically on like the divorce lawyer, because, you know, as they say, marriage is grand and divorce is 50 grand. The firm for Cook County, it's downtown here in Chicago. It's somebody that practices divorce law out of his, you know,
right.
he's got a big law firm. And so members who call, they get those very same services, just at a heavily
discounted
rate.
Price.
Have you ever talked to anybody as a sufferer of divorce myself? Have you ever had a conversation with someone on the phone where you realize that every minute that you speak to them is costing you like a pile of money, where you break down the minute by minute cost? So saving money on something like that can be an enormous relief for
people.
I feel
like you're projecting here.
Projecting. I'm being very, very, very clear about what I'm talking about.
You know what? Actually, I do. And, members, unfortunately, did not know about the program, and for whatever reason, their divorce is very costly, and it's being strung out for years and years, and very much not happy with their current situation.
Yeah, and then you run out of money, and the lawyer's like, well, been a pleasure.
Right, right.
And good luck for the rest of this on your own. You laugh, Phil. I mean, it's crazy. These are shark-infested waters.
Right. Yes. And frankly, the only people that win in that situation are the attorneys.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
and that's what we're trying to avoid.
And that's what we're trying to avoid. Yeah. But we've gotten terrific feedback on not only our family law attorney, with all our other attorneys, otherwise they wouldn't be providing the services.
Yeah. How can members of the National Coalition of Labor reach your office if they have a question or they want to find out more?
Absolutely. Our telephone number, it's an 877 number, not 800. It's 877-694-2663.
Okay.
That's the best way to reach us. Mm-hmm. When you call, a person will answer live and we'll get back to you later that day.
Yeah, connect you to give you the advice or connect you to another attorney.
No, to give you, the first and foremost is giving you the advice or the guidance, I should say. Naturally, somebody might say, I want, you know, to get divorced. You have an attorney. Our first response is, well, is there some general guidance that we can give you, or from bankruptcy to even criminal defense or to, you know, personal injury, and, you know, try to help them. Mm. And then from there, if necessary, we will give them, you know, the attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And right now the hot topic is property taxes.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
It's that time of year. Right. I sort of get back to that topic. As I mentioned earlier, we do free property tax appeals for the members and the members' families. Mm-hmm. And right now it is time of year to contact us about appealing your property taxes, not only in Cook County, but the collar counties. Now is the time to be doing that. All you need to do is contact our office with your property index number, and we'll take it from there. We do an analysis on your property to determine whether or not there's grounds for an appeal. And if there is grounds for an appeal, we file the appeal. And if and when we get a reduction, there is no charge.
Right.
The average union member over the years has saved anywhere from $1,800 to $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that's big money.
In property tax savings, especially now in all these counties, because they're raising the property taxes. It's going up, and it'll keep
going up. They're
never
going down.
Right. They're never going down.
Yeah.
People always ask, well, if you get a reduction, do I have to pay you? I don't know how else to emphasize this. There is absolutely no charge.
Right.
It's free. And if there are no grounds for an appeal, like I said, we provide you with an analysis explaining why there isn't a grounds.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
just don't say, sorry, can't do it.
I mean, a lot of attorneys that do this type of work, if they negotiate a reduction, they take a third of it, or, you know, like almost
a third, or even some cases 50% of the first year's savings. Plus, the other benefit to union members, a lot of attorneys will charge anywhere $50 to $100 just to do the analysis, even if there's no grounds for an appeal.
Well, I mean, it takes work.
It does take work, and it's fair. But, again, we provide all this for free. It's one of the benefits that you only get for being a member of a union and part of the National Coalition of Labor.
For sure.
And I strongly suggest that if anybody's even considering or has not looked into appealing their property taxes, to call us because it should be being reviewed.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. So, all right, well, we have to take a quick break. But again, Nick Cortese from Union Legal Services. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks
for everything
you
do for the members. We appreciate you, and we'll be back right after this with more Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic, powered by National Coalition of Labor, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher, here with Phil Davidson, and we are joined in the studio with a couple of very special guests from the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. We've got Marty Durkin, he's the assistant to the president, and then we have Braulio Pratita, he's an operator with QSL America. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you. You know, we have probably three or four times now between the show and on Worker Wednesdays on Wednesday nights, we have talked about the strike that's been going on for over 2 months now down at QSL, the strikes against QSL America, down in the ports on the south side, an unfair labor practice strike. So, Marty, can you tell me a little bit about the strike? Like, when, you know, when did it start, and what's sort of the background on it?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, guys. You know, this has been quite a struggle. We've been going 71 days now, actually probably 73, 74.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, but...
big numbers.
Know, exactly. We've been out there a while, and you think about the summer we've had with the heat and conditions and the rain and all the rest, and this group of guys have stood out there steadfast, and they have really shown incredible resolve. But where it really began was they reached out to our organization about some concerns they had about safety and you know, lack of training and things of that nature, and they ended up going out on strike. I believe the date was May 22nd. QSL America are a they lease the ports on the south end of the city at 95th and the 95th Street Bridge. What's the exact address, Julio?
The
95th. Yeah. All right, we'll go with that. But anyway, they walked out because of the conditions they were working under,
right.
And you know, we're there to support them and have their back. But QSL America is owned by QSL, a Canadian-based parent company.
And it's that's owned by largely by venture capital, right?
Correct. And there's a group called ICON, small I, capital C-O-N, Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that they're about a 78% owner in this organization. And then CDPQ, which is the Canadian Pension Fund.
No kidding.
Yes, also have a portion of it. So you can see that these groups, they get their money from pension funds, from infrastructure funds, and, you know, they make promises to these funds. I was a fiduciary myself at the city of Chicago years ago, an elected trustee. And when you give out money to these organizations, you assume that they're treating their workers the way
they
do things the right way, right?
Yeah, and they're adhering to sort of the ideals of an organization. So like a union pension fund, if they're going to invest in companies, you would think that they would do so in a way that would you know, reflect the best interests of the workers in those companies.
Exactly. Yeah. And like here, we're in Chicago, right?
Might have to call this pension fund.
Well, there's other organizations, I believe, that they get financing through as well.
Uh-huh.
But they come to Chicago, and you know, our understanding is that the in Canada they treat their workers maybe a little bit different, but here in Chicago we had these guys come out, and the complaints that they came to us is
we should tariff those guys.
Well, you know what? That's, I hear that's an idea these days. But the
used to get along so well.
Exactly. Well, we'll get back in good graces with Canada again. But
yeah.
at this time, I mean, these guys walked out. And
so they reached out to the union about concerns about their safety, you know, safety and the upkeep of the equipment, I think I read.
Yeah, the biggest concerns we got was, you know, the unjust labor policies that they had, retaliatory measures towards anyone who made complaints, you know, exercising their rights. They would, any complaints they made seemed to fall on deaf ears.
So if there's equipment that's, and these are cranes, these are things that are used to unload and load barges and ships in the port. Yeah. Big equipment, and if something's not being well maintained and there's a safety concern, it's the operators who see that and who are the sort of the first people in danger. So, I mean, Braulio, you and your coworkers see some unsafe conditions, you speak up, and you're just met with either deaf ears or retaliation, it sounds like.
Yep, exactly that. I was actually in the safety committee.
Okay.
And we had a meeting about every month, and we were bringing all these concerns, you know, machines leaking, machines not working properly, no seatbelts, no mirrors.
No seatbelts.
Even no horns, you know.
Right.
When you're hitting a blind spot, I mean, and...
Yeah, just glaring basic things.
Yeah, they would just kind of brush it off and move to the next thing, you know. So this is kind of the biggest concern, machinery and training. The training was just... going to a room, sitting, watching a two-hour video, and that's it. You're certified for a big machine, you know. And the bigger the machine, the bigger the responsibility you have. So definitely that was a big safety concern.
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, kudos to you for recognizing that, because the apprenticeship program for heavy equipment operators typically runs about 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, before you put somebody responsibly into the seat of a big machine, they've got to be very well trained. And a two-hour video where if I had to guess, probably 20 minutes of it focus on not joining a union. You know, that's just not enough to get it done.
It's a little scary.
I think if you think of the big picture here, too, this is the dock workers.
Right.
There's folks walking around underneath this equipment.
It's a busy, busy workplace.
Yes, yep. These are, imagine the scenario there where it's, you got a barge that's tied in. It's moving. It's not a steady target. The training that would be involved with load calculations and all the other things that you could consider, mirrors not on machines, blind spots, all these things, yep. Just put all the ingredients of everything that we demand for workers in safety. And it's you have the lack of training is really concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not alone are you putting the person who's in that piece of equipment in harm's way, but obviously all the folks that are working underneath them who are tying down, strapping, you know, the loads, and a lot of that, from what we're understanding, is not done with great care either. So there's multiple concerns. We have 7 ULPs filed against QSL America.
So that's an unfair labor practice charge that's been filed with the National Labor Relations Board.
Correct. And we've had basically, to my knowledge, really no correspondence back from the company. There may have been a slight reach out early on.
But the strike, I mean, has essentially really kind of shut down activity at the port, right?
I was out there Tuesday of last week, and I went out to see the guys because, you know, you're 70 days into something of this magnitude.
And a lot of that's been really, really hot. It's been a hot summer.
Yeah. It's been. How many guys on strike?
28, I believe we're at.
28 now. Just 28 guys. We just got 5 guys last week.
Nice.
So that's an interesting thing there. You know, a lot of times when you get a strike this long, you know, you hear about people crossing the line.
Right. Yeah. It's going the opposite way.
It's going the opposite way.
That's
they're
awesome.
They're coming out because they're seeing that they are being the workers who were left in there were even in worse condition. They were undermanned. The safety concerns were only growing. So we had more folks come out this week. But the resolve of these guys was inspiring. You're out there and you see it. But I had an opportunity, Freddie Alvarez, one of our agents who's out there kind of leading the group, brought me around to all the lines. I got to meet the guys, but we stood at a bridge and looked out over the port.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 barges parked there. I seen very, very little activity.
Yeah.
To zero. And, you know, again, if you're a venture capitalist and you're investing in this group and you're nothing is getting unloaded. There's concerns from that perspective.
We know
as well.
That nothing upsets venture capitalists more than
lack
money.
Of commerce.
Then the meter stops running.
Yes. Yeah,
well, that's what's going on, and I seen it firsthand. We went by every location. The times I was there was no movement. The main port, I think I seen 1 forklift moving around, but it was you know, there was 2 cranes sitting idle. There was equipment from the ships themselves, and it was like a ghost town. So yeah, it is. It's come to a grinding halt out there, and you know, if they know who we are and how to reach out to us, we can get this thing resolved.
Yeah. So Braulio, how long have you worked for QSL America?
Right around 2 years.
Okay. And how'd you like the job? I mean, it's do you like the work, the operating equipment?
Yeah. At the beginning, I mean, I liked operating equipment. Then I realized how dangerous and how much responsibility comes with it.
For sure.
You know? And in my time working there, I had the great opportunity to meet a lot of people. People that have been there for pretty much their whole life. And it seems like they have a pattern of bringing, like I said, safety concerns. Like they pick more profits over safety. And you know, you see it like he said in barges and vessels. They always push each other. They always push their workers to work harder and to work unsafe. You know, you have machines leaking, you have machines breaking down, but they still make you drive them.
If they have to repair the equipment, then it's out of service, and maybe
they
things
have
aren't
to stop
getting
operations.
Done.
Slows down production.
Yeah, that's a call you can make from an office in Quebec, but when you're the operator who's actually got to sit there and you have people underneath the load and you don't want to drop it on them, that's
right. Well, their hiring practice, too, from our understanding, was temp agencies.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're calling a temp agency to
these are skilled jobs.
To operate millions of dollars worth of equipment.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And it's, you know, show them a video and here's the keys.
Yeah.
Don't join a union.
Yeah.
Whatever you do.
And like he said, this industry is very detailed. So even if you know how to operate a machine, the cargo, it's different.
Right.
So you have round bars, you have coils, you have different kinds of cargo. So everything changes. You know, even if you know how to operate the equipment, it's pretty tricky.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of industry where if there's an accident at work, it's not you know, somebody spilling something on the floor. These are the kinds of accidents where people get hurt. People get killed. It's heavy equipment, and you're talking about unloading cargo from from ships. So,
did I see they're not paying overtime either? Was that part of the ULP?
So what they do after 8 hours, they don't pay overtime. So with this industry, right, we go back again with the vessels and everything. They want to get them done as quick as possible. So what they would do, that let's say they get a vessel Monday, they'll work us like 16-hour shifts. And then Friday, they'll send us home early.
Ah, so the old 40 hours per week instead of 8 hours per day.
Yeah, our ULPs do not have anything to do with that. They're all safety concerns. And, you know, that...
But, I mean, if the company comes to the table, anything is fair game for these workers to talk to them about. I mean, first and foremost, above everything else in any job, is safety.
But you would hope. And that's, again, the training, the safety is the key to what we've started with down here. And, we, you know, you could probably relay a little more. We've heard of injuries and serious injuries at these ports. And we've also...
I read something in the Sun-Times that they had an employee in Louisiana who was working on one of the barges, and he disappeared. And they never found him. And it didn't really sound like they looked.
That's another. It's the same company. It's truly concerning. I mean, at the end of the day, what happened down there is this young man named Darius went to work.
Yeah.
You know, he was working overnight. And, you know, at some point during the – I don't have all the details, but, you know, he's a dock worker.
Yeah.
They found some of his clothing and whatnot, but he disappeared. And, you know, we've been talking to the family to some degree as well, and they just don't feel satisfied with the answers they're getting. We've tried to help out. We've sent some folks down there. And, you know, the gentleman disappeared at work. The assumptions, we can go in many different directions, but he hasn't been heard or seen of since. And, you know, this is just one of those things that seemed like there was a lackluster, you know, attempt to cooperate. I mean, there was a police report and a couple of other things, and as far as we can see, it's just we don't know what happened. So
it sounds like they're not great at answering questions, sort of all around.
They're not answering anything to us.
That's a big concern. Someone goes missing from work and they've got no answers.
Where's our brother? This strike, as you said, Marty, has been going on for, you know, over 70 days now. Keep up the good fight. I mean, Braulio, you're hats off to you for wanting a safer workplace for yourself, wanting a safer workplace for the people that you work with, and speaking up about it. I mean, sometimes the fight is hard, but hats off to you for taking it up.
Thank you.
And we'll stay in touch.
We appreciate you guys giving us the time. Again, I can't talk enough about the resolve of these guys and seeing them out there. I think their attitude is better now than it was day one.
Right.
It's just, again, I use the word inspiring, but I was inspired by, it's good to see people out there and knowing that they're in the right. And that's why more people are starting to come out to the other side of this. And, you know, Local 150, we're going to be there steadfast through the finish of this.
No doubt about that.
We're not going anywhere. And, you know, we're going to support these guys until they get there just rights.
You know, we'll keep in touch. We'll continue to report on the story. So thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate you. We've got to take a quick break, but we will be back with more Workers' Mic right after this.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. We've got a few minutes left in the show. Ed, I know we were talking about what's going on with Chicago firefighters.
Yeah.
A frequent topic of conversation on this show.
Right.
Going on more than 4 years without a contract, I
believe. For sure.
And right now, there was just a story this week about Pat Cleary, the president of Firefighters Local 2, was saying that they are in desperate need of new equipment.
Well, right. I mean, since the expiration of the last contract, when they started talking about a new one, it's not just about money in the way that people think, oh, you need a new contract, you want to make more money. With the firefighters, it also has a lot to do with staffing on the trucks. You know, how many firefighters are on a truck, what their roles are. And in the aftermath of just about every fire where civilians die or where firefighters die, the report always comes back saying we need to increase staffing on the trucks. So that's been a big part of the contract ask. But there's also equipment. You know, the fire department's equipment, it doesn't appear that it's being maintained properly, because there was a tragic fatal fire on the west side earlier in the spring, and the report came back and said that there was a malfunction on the ladder, and people died in this fire.
This was the arson.
Right. And people died in this fire, but the ladder didn't go up. They had to reset the thing in the middle of all this. And then they noted that there's better equipment for this. It's called a snorkel truck, which is, you know, a new thing that I learned this week.
Yes.
The city has four of them, and three of them are out of service because they haven't been repaired. So, you know,
the third largest city in America doesn't have functioning fire equipment.
And right now, I mean, they're in arbitration with the city over this contract. The mayor has come out and said that, you know, maybe we need to focus on, instead of staffing the fire trucks, maybe we need to buy some more ambulances. We have to look at it. And it's like, when it comes to something that you say and instead of or, it should be the fire department. Like, oh, let's choose between ambulances and fire trucks that work. I think we should reasonably expect as taxpayers to have both of those things. And if money has to come out of something else that perhaps doesn't involve saving lives, then that's just what's got to be done. But the fact that, you know, you're given these four things, you know, paying firefighters, having enough firefighters, having trucks that work, and having ambulances, like, what are we doing? Pick one, pick two? It's crazy. So
yeah, it's unconscionable.
You know, they're still in arbitration, so we'll see what comes out of that. But you know, we're with the firefighters on this one.
It's getting to the point where we can't call ourselves a union town if our own fire department can't have a contract if it's been 4 years. What is going on here?
Yeah, it seems like it's just, and the longer this lingers, it just gets worse.
It does.
And worse. So you know, City of Chicago, like, figure this out.
Right.
It's 4 years is too long.
It's embarrassing.
1 year, 4 months, a month is too long. We're on 4 years. So, you know, city's kind of, in my opinion, got to get its act together on this. So, you know, there's that. There was a story, you and I were talking about it before before we came on the air. It was in the New York Times last week. And basically, it was a story about food workers that were working, I want to say, was it a poultry processing
plant? It was a meat processing plant in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yes.
And apparently, I mean, the folks who own this company said, you know, they use E-Verify, an online tool provided by the government to verify that all their workers have, you know, legitimate legal status.
ITIN numbers, social security numbers, correct.
Exactly. So they're like, we do this, but ICE came in and wiped out the whole workforce.
100 employees?
Right. So the owner is like, we've got to get more workers in here and we've got to get them trained, except all the supervisors that do the training and know the training, they were all taken as well. So they're all just gone.
And this was hard work?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, meat processing plants.
Right.
There's a lot of opportunity for injury.
6 days a week work, but also $20 an hour, which in that small town is not a bad job.
Right.
It's enough to afford housing, to, you know, to afford to raise a family. It was a decent career, but it's very, very hard and difficult work and dangerous work.
Yeah. So in case listeners, if you didn't know, we are famous in multiple media now.
Triple threats.
That's exactly right, because we are we had a special segment on a show aired by the Carpenters Union just yesterday.
Yes, Built to Last, 10:30s on Saturday mornings. And
did you say 10:30s?
10:30s
like Eastern and Central, or like multiple 10:30s?
10:30 Central on WGN, our favorite television network in
watch
the country.
Watch it, folks.
Saturdays at 10:30, and this particular episode includes a story about the Workers' Mic.
So if you want to see a clip, we're going to put it on our Facebook page. So look up the Workers' Mic, powered by NCL on Facebook, and you can see our beautiful faces. But we will, we've got to run. We are out of time. We're actually beyond out of time, according to Ashley, the lovely engineer. And we will be back with you next week with more Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.